इति उक्त्वा सह देवो भूत् तुष्णीं कृष्णानुभाववेत्। तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुवुः सर्वे साधु साधूति सत्तमाः। इति उक्त्वा सह देवो भूत् तुष्णीं कृष्णानुभाववेत्। तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुवुः सर्वे साधु साध्वीति सत्तमाः। कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभावेन कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभावे तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुः सर्वे साधु साध्वीति सत्तमाः। इति उक्त्वा स देवो कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभावे तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुः सर्वे साधु साध्वीति सत्तमाः।
स्टूडेंट्स ऑफ द भक्ति वेदांत अकेडमी,
इति उक्त्वा स देवः कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभाववेत्। तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुः सर्वे साधु साध्वीति सत्तमाः। इति उक्त्वा स देवो भूत् कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभावते तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुः सर्वे साधु साध्वीति सत्तमाः। इति उक्त्वा स देवो भूत् कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभाववेत् तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुः सर्वे साध्वीति सत्तमाः। इति उक्त्वा सः देवो भूत् कृष्णेन कृष्णानुभाववेत् तच्छ्रुत्वा तुष्टुः सर्वे साधु साध्वीति सत्तमाः।
ट्रांसलेशन। Shukadev Goswami continued, having said this, Sahadev, who understood Lord Krishna's powers, fell silent, and having heard his words, all the saintly persons present congratulated him, exclaiming, "Excellent, excellent, sadhu, sadhu." Text 26, chant together. Shrutva dvijeritam raja natva hardam sabhasadam samarhayad rishikesham vitaha pranayavivvalaha. The king was delighted to hear this pronouncement of the brahmanas. So the king here is Maharaj Yudhishthira, from which he understood the mood of the entire assembly. Overwhelmed with love, he fully worshipped Lord Krishna, the master of the senses. Text 27 through 28.
Tatpada vavana yujapaha shirasa lokapavanihi sabharyah sanuja matyah sakutumbo vahanuda vasobihi pita kausheyair bhushanaischa mahadhanaih arhayait vashru purnaksho nashakat samabekshitum.
After bathing Lord Krishna's feet, Maharaj Yudhishthir joyfully sprinkled the water upon his own head and then upon the heads of his wife, brothers, other family members and ministers. That water purifies the whole world. As he honored the Lord with presentations of yellow silken garments and precious jeweled ornaments, the king's tear-filled eyes prevented him from looking directly at the Lord.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
So today's lecture is in five parts. We have five questions. I'm going to ask these questions to the students first, and then as necessary we will go to the adults. So the first question, I'll list the five questions, but the first question I need an answer before I can list the other four. So what is the water that washes Krishna's feet called? Only the students right now. After the water has washed Krishna's feet, what do we call it? Yes. Charanamrita. What's your name? Brajamohan. Thank you. So it's called Charanamrita. So here are the rest of the four questions. The second question is, can we find Charanamrita in nature? That's the second question. The third question, why should we accept Charanamrita of Krishna? The third question, why should we take Charanamrita of the devotees? Okay. And I forget which question this is now, the fourth or the fifth. Last one. What are the do's and the don'ts for taking Charanamrita? There are rules for everything, including taking Charanamrita. And so I will talk about the do's and the don'ts. Of course, we'll first see what you have to say, and then if needed, I'll answer these questions more. So the first question is, can we find Charanamrita in nature? See. I will go to the usual suspects later. Okay? The new people. Ananya, yes. Krishna took a bath in the Yamuna and his feet touched that water. Wonderful answer. More hands? Okay, there were hands up here. You want to try? No. She took your answer. Gauranga, you had an answer? You were going to say no. Okay. Yes? Yes, go. Yes, you? No. Yes. Kalyani. No, the question is, can we find Charanamrita in nature? You're answering a question that comes later. Yes, Brajaman? Yes, the answer is yes. Okay, so let's get into, look at this question. There's a verse in the 11th canto, 6th chapter, 19th verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's see. Vibhavyastava tavamrita kathoda vahastrilokya. Thank you, Kesha Prabhu. Pada vaneja saritaha shamalani hantum Anushravam Shrutibhirangrijam Angasangai Tirthadvayam Shuchishadasta Upasvrishanti. Tirthadvayam, there are two types of holy rivers. Translation, the nectar-bearing rivers of discussions about you, which is the Bhagavatam, and the Gita, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also the holy rivers generated from the bathing of your lotus feet, are able to destroy all contamination within the three worlds. Those who are striving for purification associate with the holy narrations of your glories by hearing them with their ears, and they associate with the holy rivers flowing from your lotus feet by physically bathing in them. So if you go to the purport, I think the second paragraph, the other nectar described here is Charanamrita, the nectarian waters that bathe the Lord's feet. Lord Vamandev bathed his own lotus feet by kicking a hole in the universal covering so that the sacred Ganges water, so the Ganga is Charanamrita. It's Sakshat Charanamrita. The whole river is Charanamrita. So that the sacred Ganges water washed his toes and fell into the universe. The Yamuna river, that's your answer, also washed Krishna's lotus feet when the Lord appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. Krishna sported daily with his boyfriends and girlfriends in the Yamuna river, and consequently that river is also Charanamrita. So the entire Yamuna is Charanamrita. One should therefore try to take bath in the Ganges or the Yamuna. I might have abbreviated some of this, so I'm just going to continue reading. It may not correspond. In all these ways, one can purify his heart and relish spiritual bliss. When one is fixed on the platform of spiritual bliss, then one does not take another birth in the material world. So that's where I'll stop. That's the answer to the second question. Now let's go to the third one. Why should we accept Charanamrita of Krishna? That's the... Yes. You go ahead. Go, Hari. Because it makes you pure. More answers? Rajamohan, you've had two already. I want others. Yes. What's your name? Oh, it's yummy. It's yummy. Today's Charanamrita on this side was really yummy. I don't know about that side. It was like pure honey. Anything else? Okay. This is a wonderful answer. Purify our heart and it helps us taste transcendental bliss, which is yummy. So let's look at CC Madhya 22.39. CC Madhya 22.39, is that it? It's okay, I can recite it. Ami vidnya ei murkhe vishaya kenediba swacharnamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, and he's explaining that whenever somebody approaches Krishna, whether with material desires or without material desires, most often they're not with material desires, then how does Krishna purify? He thinks, Ami vidnya, since I am very intelligent, A murkhe, this is a fool. He is approaching me for material desires. Why should I give him what he wants? That's his question. Krishna says, since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. Swacharanamrita diya. So this is what Krishna does. I induce him to take Charanamrita, which makes us forget illusory material enjoyment. So this is purifying. That's what it means. So then the next question was, why should we take Charanamrita of devotees? Gauranga. Okay, so the answer, because this was, there's no microphone, nice answer. The answer was, Gauranga gave the answer that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, maybe in the purport somewhere, because this is in the Bhagavatam, I think, that if you serve my devotee, then you're my devotee. And drinking Charanamrita is serving the devotee, and that gives liberation. Anything else? Pandits, scholars of the Bhaktivedanta Academy? They're definitely pundits. At that age, I knew absolutely nothing. I still don't know anything, but these are Sukruti from previous lives. So, let's see what I have here. Yeah, there is a verse. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking in the 7th canto. Naishamatir tavad puru kramangrim. I don't know the verse number. Sprushati anarthapagamo yadarthaha mahiyasam padarajo bhishekam nishkinchananam navrunita yavar. Very famous verse. There's actually 3 verses that Prabhupada quotes also. Nate viduh svarthagatim hi vishnum. That was his other verse he liked. Is it what? 7532. So what this verse is saying, basic necessity, it's establishing the basic necessity of taking shelter of the devotee. And it literally is saying that unless we take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees on our head, we cannot get any attraction for the lotus feet of Krishna. And the purpose of those lotus feet is to remove all anarthas, all impurities. Sprushati anarthapagamo yadarthaha. Yadarthaha, the meaning of Lord Krishna's lotus feet for us as sadhakas is that they remove all impurities, anarthapagamo. But our misfortune is we cannot develop any attraction for these lotus feet. Not by our own efforts, not by the efforts of others. That's also a verse like that. Matirna Krishna parato svatova. Parato, by the effort of others, svata. Effort of our own. Our own efforts, we cannot get any attraction for Krishna's feet. And therefore the anarthas will never go away. Except when we take mahiyasam pada rajo abhishekam, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees on our head. We do the abhishek on our, with that dust. And then we can get attraction for Krishna. To take Charanamrita of Krishna, we need Charanamrita of the devotee. In other words, we need the mercy of the devotee. So all of us that are coming to this temple are taking Charanamrita by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Really. And the devotees who brought us to this movement. We can analyze that and see the truth of this statement. Now here is a more interesting pastime, and this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which makes this very clear. So first we'll see the verse Antyalila 16.60. Yeah, that's it. Bhakta pada dhuliyara, bhakta pada jala, bhakta bhukta avashesha, tina mahabala. There are 3 very powerful substances in nature. One is, the first is the dust of the feet of the devotee. The second is the water that has washed the feet of the devotee, Charanamrita. That's why we take the Charanamrita of the devotee. And the third is the remnants of food left by a devotee. These are the 3 powerful substances in nature. So, the concept of devotees mercy, giving us Krishna's mercy is beautifully shown in Antyalila, in the starting with the pastime of Kalidas. So this is a 16.39 is the verse, but I'm just going to tell you the story real quick in a short way. Kalidas was a devotee who lived at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his main mission in life was to eat the remnants of the Vaishnava's food, basically. So what he would do, he had a plan, he had a method. He was rich, so he would prepare nice gifts And he would take them and give them to different devotees, Vaishnavas. And when he would do that, he would induce them to take the prasad, and then he would want the remnants. But they were smart also, so they wouldn't allow him the remnants. So what he would do, he would leave the house, he would hide, and he would watch them. And in Bengal at that time, when you ate on leaves, banana leaves. So once you ate them, you took the banana leaves, you didn't wash them or scrub them, you just threw them in the ditch. So then he would hide and see when the prasad was, the remnants were thrown away, and then he would go and eat in the ditch and take the remnants. And he would do that. It is described in this chapter. He basically ate the remnants of every Vaishnav in Bengal, which is mind-boggling to me. But this is how this is the true story. So, and then it is explained how he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I'm going to read from 16.39. I'm just going to read the English. We don't need the Bengali. We don't have time. So, when Kalidas visited Jagannath Puri, Neelachala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed great mercy upon him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly visit the temple of Jagannath every day. And at that time, Govinda, his personal servant, used to carry his water pot and go with him. As we know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. And sannyasis carried a danda and they had a water pot. And Japamala. So, Govinda was carrying that, his servant. On the northern side of the Simhadwar, this is one of the entrances to the Puri temple. Behind the door, there are 22 steps leading to the temple, and at the bottom of those steps is a ditch. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wash his feet in this ditch, and then he would enter the temple to see Lord Jagannath. So, he had ordered his personal servant that no one should take the water that had washed his feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he is in the mood of a devotee. And the devotees don't like it that people take their remnants or they take their Charanamrita. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had explicit orders to Govinda not to allow anybody to take his Charanamrita when he washed his feet at the ditch. But, so because of the Lord's strict order, this was strict, no living being, I'm wondering about the ants there, but no living being could take the water. Some of his intimate devotees would take it, however, by some trick. So they would trick him. One day, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet in that place, Kalidas came. And he extended his palm to take the water when he was washing his feet. But Mahaprabhu gave him Charanamrita. So this is the principle. So Kalidas drank one palmful, then he asked for a second, then he got a second palmful. He asked for a third, he got a third palmful. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, enough. Forbade him to drink more. He said, do not act in this way anymore. I have fulfilled your desire as far as possible. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most exalted, omniscient, supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore he knew that Kalidas in the core of his heart had full faith in Vaishnavas. Because of this quality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu satisfied him with mercy not attainable by anyone else. So this is the reason we should take the dust of the devotees, because that's how we get, and that's the only way we get Krishna's mercy. And there are many examples like this, and I don't have time today. Sudama Brahmin is one example. If you read Krishna book, you'll see that Krishna himself demonstrates what to do. So he washes the feet of Sudama Brahmin, then he takes that water over his own head and puts them on the head over the heads of his relatives. Similarly, there is the pastime we just discussed a few months ago, where Narad Muni visits Krishna in Dwaraka. And in Dwaraka, Krishna again washes Narad Muni's feet. So this is etiquette. Now we'll come to one last thing. There's one beautiful pastime from Indradyumna Maharaj, which I like very much. I listen to the memories on YouTube. And I recommend everybody should hear it. I'm sure you have heard it, but if you have not, recently hear it again. So Indradyumna Maharaj, in his young days, when Prabhupada went to a temple, maybe it was somewhere in Europe, he and another devotee made a plan that they were going to get Charanamrita from Prabhupada. You know, the devotees would wash his feet with different items. So their plan was to have a big vessel, really big vessel, to collect all the Charanamrita. And then as soon as it was done, they ran upstairs, locked themselves, these two devotees. I don't know who the other person was. And who was it? Oh, it was in Vrindavan. Okay. They ran upstairs, they locked the door, and they started drinking. And there was a huge quantity. I don't know how many liters. But the way he explains it, it was not possible for people to drink that much water. And so they drank all of it, and the devotees were trying to barge in, because everybody else wanted the Charanamrita, but they had locked the door. This was the plan. And they kept hammering, "Let us in!" But they made sure they drank every last drop. And then Indradev Maharaj says that that day and that drinking of Charanamrita is the reason he thinks he has stayed with the movement for so many years. He remained in the movement. So that's a pastime I like. England or France? She's saying maybe in Vrindavan. I don't know. I tried to find it yesterday, but I couldn't find it. You were listening? Yeah. In Europe. The same exact thing took place with Mahaprasadam in Vrindavan. Locked themselves and ate all the Mahaprasadam. Yes, okay. Mahaprasadam, yeah. Now the last point. I don't know how we're doing on time. Okay, so what are the do's and don'ts for taking Charanamrita? So the first is, let's look at the do's. And I'm going to read Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this in the Krishna book. So Charanamrita is obtained in the morning while the Lord is being washed before dressing. Scented with perfumes and flowers, the water comes gliding down through his lotus feet and is collected and then mixed with yogurt. In this way, this Charanamrita not only becomes very yummy, tastefully flavored, but also has tremendous spiritual value. As described in the Padma Puran, even a person who has never been able to give in charity, never been able to perform sacrifice, study the Vedas, worship the Lord, or in other words, even one who has never done any pious activities will become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God if he simply drinks the Charanamrita, which is kept in the temple. In the temple, it is the custom that the Charanamrita be kept in a big pot. The devotees, and this is the do, the devotees who come to visit and offer respects to the deity take 3 drops of Charanamrita very submissively. That's the first do. And then second, that's not a do, that's a result, and feel themselves happy in transcendental bliss. Okay, so we have to approach Charanamrita submissively. And with the do's go to the don'ts. So this is a verse from the Padma Puran, Arche Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramati. It's a long verse. But in there, at one point it says, Pada Tirthe Ambu Buddhihi. Again, Prabhupada's writing, no one should consider the deity in the temple to be made of stone or wood, nor should one consider the spiritual master as an ordinary human being. No one should consider a Vaishnav to belong to a particular caste or creed, and no one should consider Charanamrita or Ganges water to be like ordinary water. So although it is H2O, hydrogen atoms bonded to oxygen, it is not more than H2O. It's like the spiritual master has a body, a material body, but he is more than the material body. He is not just the material body. That's the concept. So we shouldn't, our vision shouldn't be that, oh, this is yummy water. It's something more. Now another don't, and this is again, I'll go back to a pastime from Chaitanya Leela. We don't take Charanamrita of the devotee in front of the deity. That's the second don't. And there might be more don'ts and do's. This is what I could come up with. So this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. It's 12.121. I'm going to read a few verses from there. So this pastime is the cleaning of the Gundicha temple. There is a temple in Puri called the Gundicha temple, which is the destination for Lord Jagannath, when Baldev and Subhadra, when they go on the Ratha Yatra cart. Ratha Yatra cart, that's a problem. Ratha, it means cart. So Ratha Yatra, they go on the Ratha Yatra, and then it ends in the Gundicha temple. And Mahaprabhu, the day before Lord Jagannath was scheduled to arrive, decided to clean the temple. And this is just an extraordinary pastime. I like playing with water, so I really enjoyed reading it. Hundreds and hundreds of devotees with hundreds and hundreds of pots filled with water, bringing them from the river to clean the whole temple. The roofs, everything was just splashed with water. Okay, and everybody is cleaning the temple, scrubbing it. Mahaprabhu is personally cleaning the floors, with his clothes. So they want to clean the temple thoroughly. Okay, so let's read 12.121. Now we are at the point where, thus all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnav from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnav then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar, who was his secretary, and told him, just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnav. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnav has greatly implicated me. At this point, this is interesting, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnav by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. And then it goes on. So in the purport to 12.127, Srila Prabhupada writes, it is significant, and this is not related to Charanamrita, but it's very interesting to read, to hear. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnava was your Gaudiya Vaishnava. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are followers of the Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the six Goswamis, then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the parampara system of the Chaitanya cult. There are many offenses one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. Nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances and touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. This is considered an offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings. The point is that even though one plays the part of a spiritual master, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. So, that answers the five questions. And I'll close here. If there are comments from the Vaishnavas here, questions. Any hands up? Janmashtami Prabhu was the first on the draw.
On this last purport, how Prabhupada describes how the spiritual master shouldn't take obeisances or allow his feet to be washed in front of deity. There was a question that was asked, Gururaj Swami told this way back in the early 90s in a Nectar devotion class. And this devotee asked Prabhupada, why is it that we have this injunction that worship shouldn't go on of someone in front of the deity, and every day you're doing Guru Puja? So Prabhupada, he responded by saying, a little controversial, but it's a pretty powerful response. Prabhupada said that my disciples develop love for Krishna is much more important than some tiny rule and regulation. In other words, the Guru Puja does take place in front of the deities, but I kind of surmise that he started the movement in the West. In the West, people aren't accustomed to worship a guru. So he wanted to put this into, you know, the worship of the guru on a high platform so that everyone would get it, and so that they would eventually develop their love for Krishna. So this is an act of compassion, as Prabhupada describes, you know, that it's more important that my disciples develop love for Krishna than some tiny rule and regulation.
Thank you. Put more hands up.
I was just going to ask for a little clarification, because it did say in that purport about touching the feet of the guru in the temple room in front of the deities. And I've seen this happen over and over again. Is this, can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I am also confused and conflicted about this when I come to the temple. So in general, I try to not touch Prabhupada's feet. I mean, and I don't do it because of this rule, but I just don't feel qualified enough to. But in general, I just offer obeisances. But, you know, like Janmashtami Prabhu said, and that was going to be my answer because I knew this question would come up, is that, you know, Prabhupada taught us to do certain things in certain ways. You know, the devotees did worship Prabhupada in the front of the deity, and even when he was manifest here on earth. And so there are many rules and regulations, but the main rule is to follow Prabhupada, what he's taught us. And so we are safe. Most of the time they're not. But I do apply this principle when as sannyasis come into the temple, I'm careful not to offer obeisances. Prabhupada has a special place. But so we balance and we study and we apply the principles, you know, in a way that's preserving Prabhupada's traditions, because he has better reasons for doing things there, and reasons we cannot understand for doing things than us. But it's good to study, because this is his purport, he's writing it, so it's always good to meditate on these things and try to develop a balance to the best of our ability. Janmashtami Prabhu, there were other hands, but if you have a response.
Just a quick comment on this. Yeah. You know, there's some support for the adjustment that Prabhupada made in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 31st verse. And this describes how the acharya, he crosses the ocean of material existence and he leaves behind for other devotees this means. And in the purporting, there's a description, you know, of how, according to time, place, and circumstance, the acharya makes these adjustments, and he does it with the full support of Krishna. The verse ends, and Krishna accepts, you know, these adjustments, something along those lines. I don't have it real clear, I don't have it in front of me. Yeah. But
the thing is that
accept this method to help them, right? So this is an adjustment that Prabhupada made.
Yeah.
You know, there's principles and there's details. Prabhupada considered this a detail. So he made the adjustment for the benefit of his followers.
Now, these principles come from the nectar of devotion, right? A lot of these things. Rupa Goswami's injunctions. Now, then the question is, well, what about Rupa Goswami's injunctions? Yeah. So there is a balance here. Empowered devotees can adjust, but at the same time, we also should not minimize from our point of view, think, oh, that's not so important. I guess, you know, that's what I'm trying to say, that there has to be a balance. We can't minimize Rupa Goswami, and we can't minimize Prabhupada. We have to balance these things. There might be contradictions in the later acharyas and the previous acharyas, but we are respectful to all acharyas and do what Prabhupada explains to us. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that we acknowledge that these things are important and we understand the principles behind it, but we follow Prabhupada's example. Another example of this is Ekadashi. If you look at Sanatana Goswami Pad's Hari Bhakti Vilas, Ekadashi is, he says that, Krishna says, if you don't do Nirjala Ekadashi, you're going to hell. Okay, so this is the principle Sanatana Goswami gave us in the Hari Bhakti Vilas on the explicit instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada allowed us to eat because Prabhupada wanted to preach. And he said, you know, you go out to preach and then you can take prasad if that's necessary. So now do we say Sanatana Goswami is not relevant anymore, or that was time, place, circumstance, or because that becomes a dangerous situation for us. In general, the principle of adjustment should be left to those acharyas who have realized Krishna, who have achieved that exalted status by following the principles of Shastra. But once Prabhupada gave us a program, I don't think we should be adjusting anymore. That's the program. And we shouldn't be adjusting even to follow the previous acharyas, because Prabhupada is our standard. But I want to give other people a chance to talk. We will come to them.
During the guru reform days, then some of the gurus actually desist or stop washing their feet and giving the disciple their remnants and so on. So you were saying that sort injunctions that have been set up by Srila Prabhupada should not be stopped. But I guess, and the reason for that is because some of the gurus fell away and so forth, so they were thinking that. But what is important to know is scriptural injunction. These things are scriptural injunction, and they're not concocted
right.
ideas
right.
by the disciples. And so so if we see it, then we should not be critical of it, really, because we've seen it's Shastra, you know? And it's not something invented by the gurus themselves. So this is important to me. So whether they want to do it or not, we should not really have
to. I guess we have precedent for both traditions. We have injunctions in the Shastra, and then we have precedent from Prabhupada. So if Prabhupada's disciples, grand disciples, want to take Charanamrita or Prabhupada's disciples, that's Prabhupada's tradition. He's established it. And so it's okay. That's what I'm saying. We have to follow Prabhupada's example in this context. At the same time, we as devotees realize Prabhupada is a special position. And so to the best of our ability, because his disciples also want us to follow scriptural injunctions also. So as the movement matures, more and more people are going back to the scriptures, the Hari Bhakti Vilas and all these other things. But there was no time for that in Prabhupada's time. And they're beginning to discover things, and then it becomes confusing, well, what should I do? So the point is to have respect for the tradition. And, if somebody wants to do Nirjala on Ekadashi, then he should. If it's in our power, we should do it. But, we don't criticize others who don't, because Prabhupada established that tradition. Yes, Prabhu. Sthitadi Muni, Prabhu.
Yeah, it seems that, we keep saying Prabhupada's special place, but it seems that Prabhupada's special place is with reference to ISKCON, the founder chart of ISKCON. And we're, consider ourselves members of ISKCON following in his line. So that's their, it's not like these are ultimate concrete things for all time for everybody all over the universe necessarily.
You mean Prabhupada's?
Well, Prabhupada set standards.
You need to get into specifics, because that's like a general principle, and I don't agree with that general principle, so give me specifics.
Well, that's for you guys to hassle with.
No, if you raise this point, then you got to defend it. You can't say we are going to haggle over it.
Anything.
Give me an example.
These elicit big discussions according to the principles of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Mm-hmm. As far as ISKCON is concerned, Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya, so he's the ultimate reference point as guru for any activity in ISKCON. If I'm born in 13th century India on some other parallel universe, they may have, different applications to debate over.
Yeah, see, the thing is that all of this is inconceivable for us. I mean, Sanatana Goswami was direct disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas directly on his instructions. Rupa Goswami gave these injunctions, which we discussed today in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, directly on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. So we have to have respect for that. We have to know, and we have to respect it, right? We can't be dismissive of it. We can't really pass judgment on it, or time, place, circumstance, or whatever. We just humbly approach it. Yeah. Maybe I'm going to hell because I didn't do Nirjala, but I'm going to take Prabhupada's shelter, and he'll protect me. I have that faith in Prabhupada.
Yeah, that's the larger principle. You take shelter the guru, or the sadhus, the preceptors, and you follow faithfully, and Krishna's pleased by your service to the guru, to the devotees.
There are more hands of Mother.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm not planning on solving any controversies. But I wanted to give an anecdote that I remember hearing from His Holiness Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Swami. Uh-huh. He was telling, after all the austerities that the devotees in Russia had gone through to practice Krishna consciousness before the Iron Curtain came down, he was so in awe of how much they endured that when they were first able to come to Vrindavan as a group, he and some God brothers, I only heard part of what you told about Indra and Sun, so I hope I'm not repeating the same story. Mm-hmm. But they prepared a huge feast, so nice. They invited all these Russian devotees to come. They put them in rows and fed them, but on the way in, they had a big bowl for them to wash their feet in, big bowl of water. They all had to wash their feet. And it was, of course, Vrindavan. It's a desert. It was very dusty. And so they fed the devotees more than they could possibly eat. And then after they thanked them and left and everything, Maharaj closed the door, and he and whoever else it was took the dust. They put it all over them. They took the water. They drank it. They put it on their heads, and they ate the remnants of these Russian devotees. So if you want to judge a thing by its result, look at B.B. Govindaswamy's enthusiasm, kirtans, and preaching.
Thank you, Mata. Thank you very much. Pramod had a question.
So my question is, when we touch Prabhupada's lotus feet or do Guru Puja, if we have the understanding that we are not keeping the Guru separate from Krishna, but Guru is a representative of Krishna, is that okay?
See, there are two things that are in play here that are in tension. One is the fact that Krishna has a unique position because he is the supreme Vishnu and we are living entities, including our spiritual master. And the other fact is that Sakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastra, that the spiritual master is the external representation of Krishna. For the devotee, the Sakshat Hari is the best principle. But at the same time, as Prabhupada repeatedly established, the spiritual master is not Krishna. And so these injunctions are more to do with preserving Krishna's position. And our touching Prabhupada's feet has more to do with our love for him. So like Janmashtami Prabhu said, this is not a very important issue. Whoever wants to touch Prabhupada's feet should do it. Prabhupada can protect us from all problems. Because this is a tradition he established. But conversely, I am careful when I do this in general. Because I know this, Prabhupada himself is writing this. So, it's a balance. And everybody has to come at a personal resolution how to do this. But we should be aware of the principles like this. We should be aware of what's in our Shastra. But we follow Prabhupada. That's the point. Does that help? There are many other issues like this, but anyway.
Instance, I remember one spiritual master in Vrindavan in front of deities. I saw disciples came, paid obeisances, he accepted, but some people, random people came and told some sannyasi, they thought they can, so he did not allow.
He didn't allow the sannyasis to pay obeisances?
No, he did not allow some non-devotees, some...
Yeah. So it's a personal thing, like Sri Vikram was saying, we shouldn't judge. It's a personal thing, because both are part of our tradition. Okay, so if some sannyasis accept worship, Prabhupada did, and they're following his example. If others don't accept worship, they're following their tradition.
Some sannyasi accepted obeisances from the disciples, but not from some random person.
Oh.
Because they may be thinking, their consciousness may not be same as
Well, I don't know about that. It's hard to guess what people are thinking and what went on. I would have to be there and ask the person. Unless somebody can resolve this. Yes, Bishop.
I've heard, I don't know if any other Prabhupada disciples know, but I've heard that Srila Prabhupada tried to stop the Guru Puja.
Well, he did.
When the curtains were open. But he said, what can I do? They want to do it, what can I do? Has anyone else?
Lakshmi Muni Mataji.
In some ways, it's like what you were describing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that sometimes Srila Prabhupada had people on either side of him, like with a cane or something. People would try to touch his feet, they'd put the cane down, you know. Especially when Prabhupada got ill, then they were trying very hard not to let people touch Srila Prabhupada's feet. But sometimes Srila Prabhupada would kind of act as if he didn't notice that people were touching his feet, and people would touch his feet, and he would just kind of, you know, he wouldn't do anything about it one way or the other. He would just, it would happen. You hear many stories of people who walked right in front of Prabhupada, offered obeisances and touched his feet as they were walking by, and Prabhupada was aware of everything. So, but he didn't say anything, he didn't do anything about it. So, but there were other times, especially when Prabhupada was in public forum, where the people in the group trying to touch his feet were not his disciples, then he would instruct his servants to stop it.
Hmm. Maybe that's where it's coming from. Thank you. Then Mashtami Prabhu, one last. Then Mataji, and then one last. Yes. Go ahead.
No, I just have to get my thought back.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
It was in response to something else that reminded me of something. I don't know if it's going to come back.
Happens to me all the time.
It seems, you know, like, I'm pretty sure in the purporting there's a description, you know, that these adjustments that the Acharya makes, it's based upon the depth of the relationship that he has with Krishna. And there's a story that Prabhupada told, an analogy that was conveyed by another devotee to Giriraj Swami when Giriraj Swami first joined, and it really confused him. And this is how a businessman, he has a representative that will go into the field and conduct business on behalf of the establishment. So he'll negotiate terms of a contract with a client, and he'll close the deal, and then he'll come back to the place of business and report what took place to the proprietor of the business. And Prabhupada describes, well, the proprietor may not actually agree with all of the terms that the representative arranged, you know, that he negotiated, but he's obliged to accept the terms because he's the representative. So, Giriraj Swami, he couldn't figure this out. How could, you know, the obvious analogy, you know, the spiritual master being the representative of Krishna, how could the spiritual master have a different idea than Krishna? And so then finally it dawned on him after many years that there's a personality, you know, that there's Balaram wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhan, and Krishna wanted her to marry Arjuna. So there's a different perspective, different personality. So these subtleties, you know, are there, and the basis of the depth of relationship, Prabhupada made incredible adjustments to spread Krishna consciousness. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, I heard that in Bengal, he invited British government officials, and he arranged for some non-vegetarian food for them.
Oh, I
just to pull them in. You know, he, you know, this
a super adjustment. But how could he do that? You know, just based upon the depth of his relationship with Krishna, he could make like this type of adjustment. Prabhupada did incredible things in this regard, but it was all based upon the depth of love, you know, that he had, you know, the reciprocal relationship that he had with Krishna. That's the understanding, you know, that Gurudev Swami gave, you know, in this area.
I mean, it's hard enough to follow what Prabhupada has laid down. So just imagine if he hadn't made adjustments, how we would have done Krishna consciousness. How many people would have taken it up, whether the movement would have spread, if everybody had to do Nirjala twice a month. And not sleep at night, I forgot about that. You're not allowed to sleep at night. Yes, Mother.
I remembered what it was. It was from the Prabhupada Lilamrita, I'm sure. And it was early on, maybe the devotees going to India, a big festival, they were putting on a crowd of Indian people, and Prabhupada with his two Western disciples. And so many people were trying to touch Srila Prabhupada's feet. And the devotees had not seen that before. They were a little, I don't think they, Prabhupada asked them not to touch. But afterwards, the comment that Srila Prabhupada made, he said, "Do you know why they worship me? Because I am free from sex desire."
Yes, I understand. Thank you. Kithai Gaur Premanandi.